Ghost Sword, a Witchblade novel, by Mike Baron. Karma, the concept that whatever one does in life becomes the seed which determines one's destiny in the next life. Rebirth is the endless recreation of life in obedience to moral necessity. Whenever a person dies, the karma is left. A new life must follow to work out the retribution involved. It is a matter of action and reaction. The process never ends. St. Elmo Naumann Jr. Prologue. Thaddeus Bachman's antique shop was the crown jewel of Worth Street, a renovated and gentrified slice of the village dedicated to separating the upscale from their money. Bachman's famed brownstone rubbed elbows with Lubitsch rare and hard-to-find books on the west and the Estelle Gallery, featuring outstanding Western and wildlife art on the east. Bachman's four-story brownstone had been built in 1898 by a shipping heir, and had been equipped with a ballroom on the top floor. Bachman renovated the joint stem to stern, turning the first floor into his main showroom. Four broad steps led to his generous red granite stoop, a double wrought iron gate protecting his Italian hand-carved oak doors from the depredations of the hoi polloi. At 10 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, those gates should have been open, allowing ingress to Bachman's loyal customers, who included several members of the House of Saud as well as a Baldwin or two. In particular, they should have been open to admit Robert Hotchkiss, Esquire, an investment banker facing a messy divorce. Hotchkiss was 5'11", thin on top and round in the middle. He had one of those bland middle-aged faces that gets less memorable as it ages, marching toward anonymity. He wore a black fedora to hide his bald spot. He glanced impatiently at his tag heuer and cursed his soon-to-be ex-wife for putting him in this position, forcing him to sell a Japanese sword that she didn't know he owned, to pay his lawyer. Where was Bachman? Worth Street was chock-a-block with cabs, delivery vehicles, tourists, bike messengers, and immigrants with portable stands hawking everything from fake Rolexes to Viagra. Hotchkiss leaned on the bell. Inside, he could hear a faint trilling. He went down the steps and stood on the sidewalk, trying to see in through the large display window on which the words Thaddeus Bachman Antiques was written in Gothic gold leaf script, with black accents. In the corner was the blue and white rectangle of Panther Security Systems. Behind the glass were two Ming Dynasty vases, a jade dragon, a freestanding silk screen, and an immense hand-carved mahogany Balinese wedding scene that must have weighed a ton, complete with dancers, firewalkers, and elephants. Bachman specialized in Eastern art, had perked right up when Hotchkiss told him about the sword. The banker's father had brought the sword home from Iwo Jima after World War II. Hang on to this, Bob. You never know. It might be worth big bucks someday. A frisson of panic crawled down Hotchkiss' spine. He was hanging by a thread at the Bloor Agency, the investment house where he worked. If he missed the 11:30 meeting, it would only give his boss the excuse he needed to give Hotchkiss the sack. It was a warm June morning and as usual, Hotchkiss was overdressed in his wool worsted suit and London fog overcoat. A bead of sweat crept out from under his hat. Hotchkiss returned to the stoop. The nerve of the man? In frustration, the banker grabbed Bachman's elegant wrought iron gate handles and shook. The handle swiveled freely. The gate opened. Peculiar. Hotchkiss folded back the gate, which swung silently on oiled hinges. He tried the heavy brass latch to the split Italian doors. It swiveled and the door swung inward. Bachman? He said. Investment bankers didn't bellow. You in there? The darkened foyer beckoned. Hotchkiss ventured further, searching for a light. He found one. He stood on a parquet floor beneath a domed 12-foot ceiling from which hung a Tiffany chandelier. On his left was a glass case featuring Bachman's announcements, an intercom system, and an alcove holding a jasmine-scented candle in a jade bowl. Directly ahead was the closet-sized elevator. To Hotchkiss' right was the heavy door leading to the shop itself. Hotchkiss turned the knob. If the place were unlocked, he would leave Bachman a note. It didn't occur to Hotchkiss that something was amiss. His primary emotion was irritation that the famed Bachman had stood him up. The door to the shop swung inward, revealing utter blackness, and emitting a peculiar coppery smell. Hotchkiss stepped through the door and felt along the wall for a light switch. His hand swept something small which fell to the floor with a tinkling sound. Shit, he muttered, venturing further into the cluttered room. He was assailed with the comforting odors of antiquity, all our yesterdays stacked and polished with lemon wax, and something else. Something metallic and dangerous. Hotchkiss recalled that Bachman kept a goosenecked lamp on the counter opposite the door. He took one step toward the counter. His feet shot out from under him as if he'd stepped on ice. Hotchkiss went down, instinctively shoving out his hands to break his fall. He slipped on something slick and sprawled on the floor, feeling ridiculous for one nanosecond, until his reptile brain clicked that all was not normal in the antique shop. The strange smell, the sticky slickness added up to animal panic. Demons lurked in the shadows. Gasping, Hotchkiss scrambled to his feet, hanging on to a hand-carved Indonesian table, spilling expensive doodads to the floor where they landed with a muted clatter. Hotchkiss scraped, bumped, and turned into the heavy drape separating the display window from the shop. Like Jerry Lewis flubbing an entrance, Hotchkiss twisted in the drapes, admitting sunlight into the shop. He looked down. He was standing in a sea of crimson. He stared at his blood-soaked hands and found himself sobbing. He began to shake. His first thought was to call the police. He hesitated. His soon-to-be ex-wife knew nothing about the sword, or certain other assets he'd kept hidden. If her vampiric lawyer learned about this attempted sale, it would go even harder on him, if that were possible. Breathing in little shrieks, Hotchkiss decided to let himself out the rear. If he hurried, he would just have time to stop at his condo, shower, and change. He looked toward the front of the store. The height of the floor and the forest of objects ensured that no one in the street could see in. Shambling toward the rear, Hotchkiss glanced once behind the counter. He instantaneously wished he hadn't.